strength, the skill, all those things. And we recognize that God is the source of it all. So I would ask the Byram Circle, if some of those from my circle would come up to take the offering. We need about four of you. All right. Okay. John Caldwell, if you want to come on. Oh, we got Andy. Okay. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for all the ways you are show us Jehovah Jireh, our provider. As we were singing the names of the Lord in this last worship song, your names give us a clue as to your character. And you are so multifaceted in your character. Not one name can describe you. So Lord, we now just want to recognize that you are our source. And we praise you now. And we give back a portion to recognize that it all belongs to you. And to remind us of that. And to keep us in the right frame of mind about our finances and our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have a few upcoming birthdays. I always like to bring attention to that. I don't give away your age. So, you know, if you're over 29, you're always 29 in my book. So, but I know one here is not 29. Ruey Rutherford is going to turn something on the 27th, right? Is that going to be 15? Oh, wow. Yeah, big 1-5. And Caleb Parsons, for those of you who know Caleb, he has kind of gone on from college and is living up in, I think, Put-in Bay right now, but his birthday's on the 29th. James Coleman, Dan's son-in-law, is turning something on October 1st. And our own illustrious Marie Heininger is going to be having a birthday on October 1st as well. So be sure to give your well wishes towards them. I wanted to just open up. One thing we've been highlighting is Wednesday Connect. Wednesday Connect is from 6:30 to 8. And you may notice here at Grace Fellowship, we don't have Sunday school. We have circle church on Sunday morning. So Wednesdays is an opportunity for us to dig a little deeper. Maybe there's courses offered or times of prayer. And so what has been happening this last month is Jake and Katie Rutherford have been leading us in various contemplative prayer and other options. And I was just wondering, we're going to be doing that again for the month of October, but I was wondering if some of those, I can go to you, but if this has been helpful for you, I would just love to hear a brief testimony, some of you that came out for that, just to share the wealth with the rest of us. So I don't know if you just want to raise your hand, I'll come to you. I would just like a few of us to share that, of how has this benefited you? How has this been a blessing to you? So let me open it up. Yeah, Cameron.
So I've never had that kind of an exercise Wednesday night where Jake Rutherford had us all just go into relaxation mode, because I'm kind of guy that's always going 24/7. And it was nice to be forced to just stop and listen to God. And then we went into the exercises of an imagination prayer. And I just thought it was very fruitful just to make me slow down and wait upon the Lord a little bit. So that's what I truly was blessed with that night.
Thanks, Cameron. I'm going to pick on Mitch, because I know Mitch was sharing with me. You're okay with me picking on you, Mitch?
Yeah. All right. You want to share a little bit?
Yeah. I shared last time, but the beauty of it, too, is putting a timer on and just closing your eyes and just putting yourself in a place where you can relax and maybe meditate on a verse or two of Scripture and just allow the Lord to speak to your heart. I can identify with Cam. I'm a very active person, and it's a good discipline to just sit still and wait upon the Lord and let Him do the speaking. So it's a blessing.
Anyone else? I know some people would rather be devoured by sharks than to speak in front of people, but yes, Janine.
Yeah, I went. I couldn't go last week, but I went a couple weeks ago. And then last Sunday, I had this vision of a boat just going really fast. And I realized, you know, I need to slow down. because I think I do that too. I try to rush ahead, and I want to be going with God's flow, not trying to rush ahead. And resting in the Lord really helped me this morning. Just spend some time reading the scripture beforehand this morning, you know, just wanting to do it for the Lord, not out of approval, because that was so hard for me, I think, growing up and even as an adult. So learning to rest, trust God, because he's in control.
I know one thing that's been beneficial for me is a lot of times growing up, you're kind of taught to pray, you know, fold your hands, close your eyes to eliminate distraction. But I found when I close my eyes, my imagination starts going all over the place. So to kind of help us to focus on being in a place and with Jesus and using your mind's eye to picture that, instead of letting your imagination walk you, you're saying, no, come back here. Let's focus in on the Lord. And it's often focused in a passage of scripture. And from what I was hearing from some of the testimonies, some great times of prayer for one another and people really sharing their heart. And so I encourage you to come out. I believe we're going to do it in the sanctuary, Jake, if there's enough people. But if not, they will be up in the multi-purpose room. So check either spot. So that'll be continuing here this next month. Also, just make you aware, we have a little bit of a change of structure with the buildings and grounds. Judea Fox had been doing that in the past, and now we have Jake Rutherford that's going to be heading that up, and Mitch is going to be also working with him several hours a week to be getting projects done around the church. And you might notice in your bulletin, you may have wondered, hey, I see a light out, or there's something broken, and you want to come tell me, or you don't know who to go to. Well, we have a special email. Think about that. It's gfcfixit@gmail.com. So I will say refer all your complaints and concerns and suggestions and questions to gfcfixit@gmail.com. And the wonderful thing about that is that they actually will check it. You know, you may say, I feel like these things go in the black hole and never gets fixed and never gets dealt with. So that's a great way. Maybe you see something we don't, and that's great because, you know, there's a lot of places and nooks and crannies around this place that we don't see everything all the time. So that's a great place to put those suggestions. I imagine they'll be put on a priority list, so don't expect this is going to get done like the next day. I mean, if it's like an exposed wire, I hope it would. But, you know, if it's just things that are around here, we'll get to it. But it's a great place for you to give feedback and ask questions and get responses. So be sure to check that out. You might notice in the back there's those little coin canisters from Child Evangelism Fellowship. That is one of the ways we help support our Richland, Morrow, Ashland, Crawford County Child Evangelism Fellowship. So I encourage you to grab one of those, put change in it, put things that fold into it, hopefully bills, and bring those back. There's information there when we have to get those back to them. So be sure to check that out. And Jake, were you going to share a little bit about the work day? So come on up here. So his first act as head of buildings and grounds, whatever title, Grand Poobah of buildings and grounds, Mario of buildings and grounds. We thought you looked like Mario with the mustache today. So yeah, the mustache of authority. So here you go.
Well, good morning. You may have noticed in the announcements that we have an upcoming workday coming up October 16th. Mitch is our staff for fixing things. He's our maintenance man, but he can't do it alone. And this is all of our church. So I would encourage us as brothers and sisters, if you're able to come, and if you can bring a young person with you, that would be awesome. We'd love to bring them alongside of us. But October 16th, from 9 to 3, we're going to be wrapping up some seasonal things, prepare for winter, and if we have enough people, we will move into some other projects to get prepared for some spring things we'd like to do. So I encourage you to come. I believe Judy's offered to make a meal for us. So if you plan to come, please let us know at gfcfixit at Gmail. That way we can get a head count, and then if we have enough turnout and it's too much for her, we can make a alternate plans. So love to see you there. This is going to be the last volunteer day of the season. And so thank you very much.
Is there a list? list of things that's going to be out there?
Yeah, so Jadea sent out a list in the bulletin of things that are there. There's a list B. You know, if we get to everything on list A, we'll just go from there. So, yeah, we have it all coordinated.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Jake.
As we consider this video, I'm going to show have Sarah show a video. I want you to think about how it exposes the tendency to boast in the wrong things, and it leads us to what Paul is trying to challenge us in 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 31. So if you could cue the video up, Sarah.
Because I give and give of myself, because I love without ceasing, because I am talented at everything, because I am good beyond all reason, because I am humble, yes, very humble. Because when you look up perfect in the dictionary, you find a picture of me, and only a picture, because words can't even describe. And even a picture tries hard, but can never come close to the sheer majesty that I am. Ask me the problem, and I will figure it out. But don't beg to differ, because you probably should figure that because I'm the best, my way is the best possible way. I am structured to perform, my body carved, my abs of steel, and quite a good-looking face, if I do say so myself. I don't drink or smoke. I don't choose to blemish this perfectly formed body with an imperfect substance. I don't submit to peer pressure, either. I mean, what would be the point of listening to imperfect people? I don't hit back, I turn the other cheek. I don't steal, lie, or get jealous. I mean, what would I be jealous of? I am perfect. I don't judge, I know everyone's already below me. And I don't rely on friends or family, for they aren't perfect, and they always let me down, but I am perfect. Or am I? You see, I give because it makes you look good. And of course I love. But I love myself most of all. And I've been given talent, but I only use that talent to raise myself higher. And I'm a good person, because I was told being a good person makes you more likable. And yes, I act humble, but it's just a show for others to see. I lie, I steal, I hit back, and I get jealous, especially of people that know where they're going in life. For it's clear that I'm not perfect. Rather, when you look up imperfect in the dictionary, you see a scratch where I tried to cover up the letters to my name. But here lies my problem. For so long, I've tried to be perfect, thinking that the big man upstairs ought to owe me something for my great life. But this is not the case. For it is when I think I am perfect, it is when I think I deserve something, that my pride destroys my ability to be without sin. So if the only way to being perfect makes me worship myself, then where does that leave me? It leaves me with the ability to do nothing, absolutely nothing, and let grace do everything. All the things that I ever do mean nothing and do nothing. For the more I try, the more I raise myself and lower God. But the Father has given me a grace that abounds my selfish pride. So it's when He takes over. It's when I lower myself and raise Him. It's when I do absolutely nothing. It's when I'm wrapped in His grace, allowing Him to do everything, that the I am makes me perfect.
Well, I know nobody would be as blatant as him and saying those things, but we can all relate, can't we? And this passage in 1 Corinthians that we're looking at, Paul, his words are ringing true to us today, and he challenges us. As I was looking at this and considering how to summarize it, this is what jumped out at me, this idea of consider in what you boast. Consider in what you boast. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 31. I'm going to be reading this from the English Standard Version. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise, according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. So as we consider this idea of what we boast, or in what we boast, this passage puts forth three areas in which boasting is encouraged. First, boast in the cross. Second, boast in the calling. And third, boast in the Lord. So let's look at the first one, boast in the cross. We see in verses 18 through 25 here, if you're following along, that Paul brings the focus in on the cross. He doesn't go yet to the resurrection. He's talking about the cross. All right? He shows us how the cross as a focus flips the world's idea of wisdom on its head. He breaks down the world into Jews and Gentiles or Greeks and what they are seeking. So it says that he said the Jews are seeking what? What were the Jews seeking? Signs, okay? And what were the Greeks seeking? Wisdom, right? So Gardner in his commentary, not Bob Gardner, but a different Gardner, on 1 Corinthians, he talks about how humans always wish to make gods after their own image. Let me say that again. Human beings always wish to make gods or God after their own image. And the cross cuts across these idols or these false gods we create and demands and lays all cultures bare for what they are. All of our false gods are attempts for us to reach or create God in our own image. And God will not allow us to do that. He uses the cross to bring all cultures to their knees. Paul says the cross is a stumbling block to the Jews. How would that be a stumbling block? Well, he's referring here back to different passages in Isaiah where it talks about a chief cornerstone was going to be laid in the house of God, and that those that aren't in the holy community will stumble over this. So the cross becomes a means by which a Jew is recognized as a true Jew or not, right? If they accept Jesus as their Messiah, he is not the stumbling stone. But if they don't, he will cause them to fall. So the Jews, they had in mind, what was their idea of a Messiah? Did they think of a Messiah? How did they think of a Messiah? What were some of the ways they thought of? A king, a political person, conquering. So they had this idea. So the fact that Jesus came from a lowly family, he's birthed out of wedlock, all these different things about Jesus were scandalous to the Jews. He was hung on a tree, and in the Old Testament, we talk about whoever is hung on a tree, or he was hung on wood, is cursed. And they asked him for a sign. You remember those times? We just went through the book of Mark. They said, give us a sign that you're the Messiah. And they didn't seem to notice all the other miracles. I mean, it was interesting. And he said, no sign will be given to you but this. What did he say? The sign of Jonah, right? And the sign they wanted, they didn't get. The ultimate sign was the cross. That was the sign. So the cross became the sign of Messiah's victory over sin and death. Paul also speaks of the cross as foolishness to the Greeks who seek wisdom. So stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to the Greeks. So in Greek and Roman society, crosses were used to crucify criminals. They would never do citizens. They would never crucify citizens of Rome on crosses. And you didn't talk about crosses in polite society. It was a vulgar thing. So the Greeks sought divine wisdom and highly lifted up philosophy, and they were equating wisdom, and Paul's equating wisdom with the cross, which seemed like an oxymoron to them. It would be considered foolishness. Do you know what an oxymoron is? Anyone know what that word means? Two words that are used together that are contradictory, you know, like military intelligence. What are some other oxymorons? Jumbo shrimp, quiet riot, yeah. So an oxymoron, it catches our attention because there's two opposites that shouldn't be put together. So as you see, saying wisdom and the cross to the Greeks sounds like, how could those two even fit together? But then Paul, he boasts in the cross. He says, at the cross, the God of the universe humbles all of us with our utter need of him. And he removes all boasting. He removes all pride, all self-sufficiency. Those are finally broken. So we boast in the cross because it allows access for everybody. So that's why we boast in the cross. Because it allows access for you, for me. All of us have access to the forgiveness of God through the cross. I've heard many preachers over the years, they say the ground is level at the foot of the cross, right? Everything gets taken away, and we are all humans in need of God, desperately broken. So, question is, what will you do with the cross? Have you reckoned with the cross in your own life? That's part of the gospel, right? The hard news of the gospel is that you yourself are not sufficient. You cannot save yourself. All your good efforts, all your accolades, all these other things that you boast in and find your identity in and try to show your family and the world that you're worth something and worthy of, do not save you. I know when we worked with Muslims, it was very hard for them to hear the gospel because their religion was based on good works. So the longer someone had been a Muslim, the more of their life had been devoted to building on that foundation. So to come along and say, you've built on the entirely wrong foundation for your entire life is a hard pill to swallow. But we all have different things we're building our foundation on. The cross hits all those things, not just those that are trying to earn their way to God. We all have some system by which we're going by which we are trying to justify ourselves, and the cross wrecks that. If you've not come to grips with the cross in that way, I don't know if you've come to grips with the cross. And sometimes teens, young people, you'll hear these things and you just accept it, but then you are actually still operating by the world's standards of trying to prove yourself. And you will hit a point at some point when you get older when you realize you do not meet the standards that you have set for yourself. Do you understand the cross? That would be my question. What will you do with the cross? So not only are we to boast in the cross, secondly, we're to boast in the calling. Verses 26 through 29, if you want to look at that, he says, "There, consider your calling." What kind of calling is he speaking of here? Does anybody remember? What is this calling? What was that? Sanctification. Sanctification. The calling to Christ, right? Your calling to this cross was initiated by God. You didn't even initiate it yourself. God gave you the want to want him. And he goes on to say, God didn't call you because you were so great or so strong or so wise or of the right family. He said he actually called Let's follow this. It's amazing here. It's not many of you were wise. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. And then he says, but God chose what is foolish. Why? To shame the wise, the ones that think they're wise in this world. God chose what is weak to shame what? The strong. God chose what is low, what is despised in the world, even things that are not, to nullify or bring to nothing the things that are. Okay? So when we have this idea of boasting in our calling, it's not because I was so good that God called me. I was worthy. You boasting in the calling is kind of referring back to the cross, isn't it? It's saying, he's the one who called me, and I am not as great as I thought. The fact that God called you guys makes you maybe think, like, oh, it says he calls the ones that aren't strong. I guess I'm not that strong. Now, if you look at who is in the Corinthian church, there were some that were high-standing members of society. But God had to humble them to be willing to come to the cross. But often you will see in history that God calls the least first to humble the proud. I've seen that when we were ministering Muslim cultures, you know, you would think, okay, I want to reach the man of the family. That's how the whole family is going to come to the Lord. But 9 times out of 10 would be like the youngest daughter, who is the least in the family. You know, women are not lifted very high there. So the youngest daughter would be the least of the least in the family. And that would be the one who come to the Lord first, over and over and over again. God tends to do that. He loves to turn things on their head. So consider your calling. And I would encourage you in Circle Church today. It's so awesome if we can share our testimony. You know, maybe take time for one person today and kind of spread that out. I know it takes a while for folks to share, but it is so neat to hear how people were called, what they were called out of. It's an encouragement to all of us. So the calling relates back to the gospel. You and I cannot save ourselves. We need God to save us. He saved us through the unlikely vehicle of the cross, and he called us through the unimaginable idea of our unworthiness. So finally, number 3, boast in the Lord. We see that in the last 2 verses. And because of him, it's talking about God, because of his calling, you are in Christ Jesus. That idea of in Christ, that's a great, I wouldn't say it's a word study, maybe a phrase study. Look that up. It's amazing. What does that mean for you and I to be in Christ? In Christ. Paul likes to use that word a lot. But here it kind of breaks down. I'd say this is one of the best summary verses in the Bible, what it means to be in Christ. He says this, because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us, one, wisdom from God, not worldly wisdom, right? Righteousness and sanctification. Bill shared that, sanctification and redemption. Those are 4 words packed with a lot of spiritual punch. So wisdom from God, not worldly wisdom. He, Christ, is our wisdom. And following his example, right? So when we are not sure what to do, we you know, there's that old phrase, what would Jesus do? Learning from following in his steps, how would he handle the situation? Asking God for help, saying, Lord, how should I handle this situation? Give me your wisdom. Righteousness. We're talking about that this year, right? Righteousness is not just good deeds. It's right relationship with God and right relationship with others. That's what the 10 commandments really are about. The first 5 are about right. What does it look like having right relationship with God? And the last 5, what is it like having right relationship with others? So Christ becomes our righteousness. He's the one that enables us to have right relationship with God. And when we really get the fact that we are saved by the cross, by our calling, not because of things we had done, we are not going to be self-pretentious. We're not going to be self-righteous. We're going to be gracious people. And I don't know about you, when I come across someone that's not pretentious, that's not self-righteous, that's gracious, that person's pretty easy to have a relationship with, aren't they? And they're filled with love. You want to be in relationship with someone like that. That is the foundation of right relationship. And then he goes on, sanctification, a big word. It means set apart. You are set apart in a new family. We have some here that have been adopted. You were chosen by that family and became part of that family. And you are son or daughter with all rights of a son and daughter, even though you are not naturally born in that family. And that's what this idea of sanctification is, being set apart as a holy people. You are now part of God's family with all the rights and privileges that that entails. And redemption, you are bought out of slavery to sin and put in this family. You are redeemed. So that's what it means to boast in the Lord and all that He has done for you. That's the kind of God He is. So consider, friends, in what you boast. Think about that. Where do you find your identity? I work with an organization called Global Lead on the side, and I do mission trips to Nepal and to Philippines. And one of the things we do is called Heart of the Leader. And one of the main things we have to hit, and this is with pastors, this is with ministry leaders, is and this often is an epiphany and it's a revelation, because we so easily get away from it. We talk about your identity first and foremost is not a pastor. It's not a missionary. Your identity is a child of the King. You are in Christ. So I have them all write on their name tag. They flip it over and they write in Christ. You know, you're not an engineer. You're not a dentist. You're not a business owner first and foremost. You are in Christ. In Christ. That is your identity. So consider in what you boast. If you are in Christ, you know, what we boast in, if that gets taken away, that can crush us, right? If you're boasting. We've all seen those movies where the proud person gets that thing pulled away and there's a part of you just kind of like, yes, their pride, they got humbled, right? But if your boast is in something that cannot be touched, that's outside of yourself, if it's in Christ and what He's done for you, nothing can touch that. Nothing can touch that. So, consider in what you boast. Do you boast in your accomplishments? Is that where you find your identity? Do you boast in your family? Some of us have made family an idol. Do you boast in your talents? Do you boast in your knowledge? Do you boast in your wealth or your righteousness? Come to the cross, consider your calling, and find your identity and what it means to be in Christ. So we're going to watch this video here at the end, and then I'm going to read the passage again for us to maybe close our eyes and ask, what is God inviting me to do? So let's watch this video, and then we'll read it again.
Our stories are a collection of moments tucked away deep inside our hearts and minds. Moments from the past. For some of us, what happened in the past can limit our present or cloud the future. We hear a voice from within, a voice that says, you are damaged goods. You are disqualified, weak. What this world sees as broken, Jesus sees as beautiful. Where culture sees defeat, Jesus sees potential. What society labels as rejected, Jesus offers redemption. The Bible tells us that Jesus uses the weak to shame the strong, and the foolish to shame the wise. When we're at our weakest, that's the very place we can tap into the strength of God. It's in this new perspective that we realize our past doesn't have to define us any longer, because we are the community of those who couldn't make the cut, the gathering of those not good enough. So may your grief bring about His goodness. May your pain bring out trust in His promises. The past that brought us shame can find renewal in one name, Jesus.
So let me encourage you to close your eyes and listen as I read this again. To picture these words, to not be distracted, and ask God as I'm reading this passage again, Lord, what is your invitation for me from this passage? So let's read this, or close your eyes and listen. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Heavenly Father, you have an invitation to each one here. Your Spirit is speaking. Lord, I ask that we would respond, that we would turn towards you, that what you're seeking to say to each one today would get through, that all distractions and defenses would come down. All other things that we boast in would be laid aside and acknowledged for their inadequacy. Lord, turn our eyes to you and to the cross and what that means for each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are going to go to Circle Churches. There's one that meets here. There's different ones that meet all around. If you're new to us and would like to go to one of those, you can go to one here or look around. They will be gathering. If you have kids, you can take them to Sunday school. The teens and the junior hires will meet upstairs. So let me close this one with a benediction. And we just stand here at Grace Fellowship. We just raise our hands as an act of receiving. Go forth today remembering what is worthy to boast in. Boast in the cross. Boast in the calling. Boast in the Lord and who he has made you to be in Christ. Go in peace.